Blog Talk Radio.
Chat room. Newman, is that? That's got to be Newman, right? Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I don't
know. Welcome to Beta Radio, everybody.
Yeah, if it is indeed the... Usually Newman puts his aliases up in giant caps, you know? If this is the real Kevin Greenstein, we have a person who's famous to this show. If this is the real Kevin Greenstein, please stand up. Please stand up.
He's a hero to this crowd.
Yes.
I
love him. You got some of the best quotes come from Kevin Greenstein questions. Glenn Savis.
That's right. He's the man who had the balls to stand up and ask Glenn Sather about Wade.
The anointed one. Glenn
this is Kevin Greenstein from the New York Sun. Glenn, just wanted to get your sense on Wade Redden, what he's going to add to the Rangers blue line core, and what you're thinking moving forward with it, with regard to the defense.
Well, he's an experienced defenseman. He's been an all-star twice in the league. He's, in our opinion, the best first passer in the game today. He moves the puck up exceptionally. He's somebody that we had targeted immediately. He was our number one guy in defense.
I know nothing. Nothing.
So the great Kevin Greenstein.
Kevin Greenstein just said his source. Yeah, I know. It says Greenstein says his source that told him Boston just scored. Wow. He's quick.
You need a source for that?
I think he might be the real guy.
What's your source? www.tsn.ca?
Well, he had it first. He had it first. Brad Marchand with the goal, it looks like. Go ahead.
John Newman just bet me $100 that Chad Johnson will be a better goaltender than Mike Richter.
Wow. Well, John Newman's pissing his money away lately with his predictions. The
Whopper
summer
money.
Heat from a couple. Well, his Whopper money is being spent fast.
Yeah, I don't want any bills with the Burger King on them. I don't want coupons.
Yeah.
I want $100 real money.
I was going to say, if it was McDonald's, he might pay you in those McDonald tickets, you know, those McDonald giveaway things.
Yeah, the ones you used to get on Halloween.
Yeah.
For free fries and stuff like that.
So tonight, we have a big, huge show planned for you on this rainy day in New York. It's going to get rainy tonight. Now, I heard there's some wildfires out there. And sing that song. Wildfire.
Drink calling wildfire. I don't remember. The guy had three names, though. Montgomery, maybe? No, that ain't right. I don't remember now.
Milan Lucic just scored.
That's who sang that song.
Milan Lucic?
Milan Lucic, yes.
A lot of
Michael
fans
Murphy.
Wow.
My sources tell me it was Mike Martin Murphy.
Yes. I did enjoy that song at the time for about an hour. And then didn't like it. So, tonight,
well,
big...
2-0.
2-0, yeah. Big huge show. Tonight, Leslie Treff. Hockey Future will be joining us. And you know I'll be asking her about certain players, Jim, because I've been on the defensive with a lot of these fans about Grotchev.
Bob and Reuben, you know, when it comes to Grotchev.
Yep. And I would like to know what you saw at the Combine. And I don't know, has anybody looked or have you even delved into, you know, the Rangers are going to be picking 15th. On who the Rangers are going to go for, because I went surfing around the intranets, looking for who the Rangers may take. And I really only found one site, and they were like, they were taking a defenseman. We really need more defensemen in this organization. I think that's a strength, if anything. We have too many defensemen.
We need another defenseman, like we need another lunatic in the front office.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I was reading Leslie's comments on the organization, and one of them, the two biggest weaknesses of the organization is we don't have any goalies, that potential number one goalies in our system, and number two, that we have no power play quarterbacks in the system. Now, I was kind of hoping this Tim Erickson would be able to fit that bill. I want to ask her why, you know, he's not considered that. I mean, I know it's hard to jump from the Swedish Elite League into the NHL, and, you know.
In fairness, we don't have any quarterbacks. I mean, they're a hockey team. We don't really have any quarterbacks.
No. Power play. Guys to dish the puck off. You know what I mean, Matt.
Oh. Gotcha. Thought you meant like Pat Ryan or.
Now I'm looking at this mock draft from some of these hooky fluky sites here, and it has us taking a guy Joseph Morrow. Now this guy better not even be related to Ken Morrow. He's from the Portland Winterhawks. Isn't that where McElrath plays?
No, McElrath's in
Moose Jaw.
But the Portland Winterhawks, that's Jess Rubenstein's neck of the woods. If it's Portland Winterhawks information we need, then Jess is your man.
But he's a defenseman. I don't want a defenseman. So it's going to be interesting. And I was looking at the organizational rankings by Hockey's Future, and we're number 7. Overall in the NHL.
In the division.
That's pretty damn good. No, in the NHL. No, I mean, it is
good.
Unusual.
That is good.
Although, I will say that the Islanders were ahead of us. It's 6th. And I still can't believe that.
They've had the number one draft for the last 14 years. I mean, they better be ahead of them. I mean, realistically, they better be ahead of them. I mean, really. If they were behind the Rangers, then they'd really be, they'd really be in trouble.
Captain says they have 6 fans.
That's true.
So I'm very interested in, I want to know about McElrath. I want to know what you've seen from him. Because, again, all we know is size, stats, some fights, you know. We don't know how the guy plays. I mean, some fans have been lucky enough to have seen him in Hartford or wherever they're calling themselves this week, Connecticut, a couple games. I would like to see where he is in the progress. I know we have some detractors of McElrath here, but they're not Ranger fans. We have one cutter that doesn't like the fact. And, you know, I guess he does bring up a semi-lucid point when, you know, they would have a power play quarterback if they had Cam Fowler, had drafted Cam Fowler. And again, I know everybody says, you know, he's a minus 29, but, you know, whatever he was, Cam Fowler had a horrible plus minus. But for an organization that is that one of the weaknesses that's been stated, maybe that was a mistake, especially now that I guess it can't be a mistake. These guys eventually have to become assets if they're good defensemen. And especially
Cam
the way we're looking at.
Cam Fowler told the Rangers at the draft that if they picked him, he wouldn't play for them.
He did?
No, but it sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah, you had me convinced that for a second.
2-0, 12 minutes to go in the first period in Boston. And I hear the Canucks have already burned their timeout, and they're in panic time.
Oh, wow. So, they going to pull Luongo?
I don't know. You know, you mentioned that team out in Hempstead. Have you heard they're going to be unveiling a third jersey?
Clown uniforms?
This is true. I'm not making this up. This isn't a bit or something. They're actually, yeah. And are you ready for this? The rumor is it's going to be black.
What?
Yep. Black and orange.
In mourning of their franchise that got lucky early in the early 80s and spent a void, a black hole since.
You know,
this is
how
stupid.
Many the Rangers have had like I'm going to try to think of this real. Basically, they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 different jersey designs in their entire history. Just thinking real fast off the top of my head, they had the ones that said Rangers across the front, then they had the diagonal ones, then they've had the everybody calls the pajama jerseys back in the 70s, and then the Statue of Liberty jerseys, blue and white, so I'll count those as 2 different jerseys. And the new Heritage jerseys. To me, I don't know. They've had like 6 or 7 jerseys in almost 90 years. It seems like the Islanders have had 6 jerseys in the last 10 years of their history, right?
Right. I guess they're looking for revenue any way they could get it.
You can't put what's that phrase? You can't put a silk purse on a sow's ear. I don't care how many jerseys they have. I wouldn't
can't
care
make
if they were finishing last every year, and I rooted for that team. I wouldn't give a shit if they wore the old Slim Goodbody bodysuit on the ice. If the product sucks, it doesn't matter what they're wearing.
I mean,
third-rate organization with no fans.
It never ends. They really should move. I've always said that.
At least
they want to
have an excuse for New Jersey, right? Although knowing that organization, they would move to Kansas City and still wear a jersey with a picture of Long Island on the front of it. Did Boston score again? Wow.
I don't know. 3-0?
It's coming in from Warner Wolf at the sports desk. Let's go to the video game. Bill Butel was at the game. Rangers should wear the uniforms from Star Trek: The Motion Picture. Those were awful uniforms. I was offended.
Which
by them.
Ones?
As a Star Trek fan. The uniforms that in The Motion Picture, they were like just monochrome.
Right.
They referred to those as pajamas as well. The only uniform I liked in that movie is the one Admiral Kirk wore as Admiral. It was white with a green sleeve, kind of a green sleeves to it. But that's another story. We'll talk about that on Friday night show.
The 85th anniversary jerseys. A lot of people were either really liked them or really hated them.
Yeah, there was no middle ground on those, was there? I liked them. I thought they were nice.
Well, I thought they were okay. I don't know. I wasn't too crazy either way. I wasn't crazy about the off-white.
I was okay with that.
You know,
I mean, I thought they were okay, but I just didn't think a whole lot of thought went into them. I mean, really, it was a darker blue. Instead of saying Rangers, it said New York, and it had a cream collar, a cream-colored collar with the retired jersey stitch. I mean, I didn't think, you know, when you looked at the Liberty jersey, that was an entirely different look. You know what I mean? It was a whole new logo. It was a whole new design. To these, just, I don't know. Anybody could have come up with a jersey that looked like that, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, you don't like the pajama ones. I hate the pajama ones because they remind me of era when the.
I like those too.
Oh, you like the pajama? You like the John Ferguson era pajama ones with the shield?
Yeah,
in the
I
front?
Like those because I like those jerseys because those are the jerseys that I remember them wearing when I first started watching them. So I've always had an affinity for those jerseys. Do you remember Nick Fatiu telling us at the viewing party what the reason for those jerseys was? And I
forget.
It was because John Ferguson wanted them to look like, he wanted it to be like the Canadians with a big, with the big crest on the front of the jersey, like the Canadians have.
Ah, oh, I get it.
He wanted it to be like the Canadians.
Yeah, well, we weren't.
Yeah. Not exactly.
Also saw that, you know, skipping decades, this week, Bettman decided there's going to be no Heritage Classic. And now D.B. Maven's saying 4-0.
Wow.
Bruins. It's a mess.
And D.B. and Zach have also been reporting that the Rangers may not be in the Winter Classic this year.
Oh, they're not interested? Because they might be media allowed to ask questions?
Don't knock. Yeah, I mean, I guarantee it's because they don't want to be on 24/7.
Well, you know that
they're probably fighting it tooth and nail, and the NHL's like, fine, we won't put you in the game.
The Rangers will not allow cameras in that locker room, so other teams can copy the way to win. They don't want that secret sauce getting out. I mean, first-round exits. They don't want anybody copying their first-round exits. I mean, come on. Again, I've said it 1,000 times on this show. What are we hiding? Are they going to find out that the Rangers have no, like, that they don't practice or something? I don't know. I mean, what's going on here?
Captain's talking about it in the chat room, and he's on the switchboard here to come on. So I'll tell you what. I'll put him on, and we'll talk about this before Leslie gets here. Captain, are you there?
Can you hear me, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know I was actually in queue. That's cool. Yeah, I don't think they want to add another distraction. They're already opening the season in Europe. They already have to deal with they're not going to be home for the first, like, 2 weeks of the season. It's just one more thing to add to distraction. That's probably why they don't want to do it.
Yeah, but how what's
distraction?
They're going to Philadelphia to play a hockey game. I mean, what's the...
Well, yeah, they're going to Philadelphia. They're going to Philadelphia along with the school bus full of camera guys that were following them around for 3 weeks prior to it.
Big deal. Distraction. What?
Well, they played so focused last year. I mean, you know, and they just barely made it into the playoffs. I mean, every game they treated like, you know, they treated the whole season like it was, you know, there was no autograph signings during the season. The Tortorella was, you know, he put the shut down, and it's still, you know, in this day and age, you know what? I don't blame the NHL for saying, you know, screw you. Who needs you? You know, I mean, I'd love it as a fan, but if the Rangers are going to be so, they're just so nuts.
I think the Rangers don't want the world to know just how much of a leader Erik Christensen is, so they don't want the camera in the locker room.
Oh, he's not going to. Please tell me he's not going to be with this team next year.
He's signed.
Oh, my God. Please tell me he won't be with it. Somebody tell me he's not. Please, somebody in the chat room, just tell. Whether it's true or not, just tell me Erik Christensen is not going to be a Ranger next year. Somebody, please. Please.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Nope.
He won't be. He's going to play with the Connecticut Whale next year. He's their starting center.
Okay. How's that? Fine.
Sounds good. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Captain. Captain telling me in the chat room as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm looking out for you.
He's going to be playing with that overrated Matt Zuccarello, who's overrated by Ranger fans.
No distracting this power play. We don't want to be in the Winter Classic.
Yeah. You know what's that power play getting? You know, we get in a groove, we get a couple goals. You know. We want to disrupt that. Well, I don't disrupt that high-powered offense. You know how our guys go on rolls. You know, we don't want to ruin some 50-goal seasons.
I'll tell you what, it would surprise you if they don't want to be in it, because then they can sell a white version of the jersey they made last year and make even more money.
Well, I figured they'd come up with something new in white. But yeah, I figured they'd do something. I mean, God, sell.
You have to think they'll be on the road before they're at home just so they can sell a white jersey. Because if they were at home, they'd probably just wear the blue ones they already have.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just want to go back to the traditional. You know, I'm a traditional man. I want the Rangers at home and New York on the road. You know, and the blue at home and the white on the road. Is that how it used to be? No, white at home and blue on the road.
Yeah, we did really well with white at home this year, so I would be in agreement that we should wear white at home. That would be fantastic. We scored seven goals a game wearing white at home.
Yeah, are you superstitious like that, Captain? I'm not superstitious. I don't say, oh, it's those jerseys. They're going to lose.
No, you know what? That's how I grew up. I remember first watching the Rangers when I was a kid, and, you know, they wore the white at home. They won the Stanley Cup with white at home 17 years tomorrow, so... I mean, to me, they always should wear the white at home, but I understand that it wasn't always like that. So, really, I'm the one who thinks it should be the other way. But I think, you know, when you wear the white at home, at least every night that you play a home game, the other team's not wearing the same color. So, it's some sort of difference.
I've gotten attached to the blue at home. At first, I wasn't crazy about it, but I've kind of gotten attached to them at home. And it was funny because who did they play? It was against the Flyers late in the season.
Yep.
They wore the white at home, right? And it looked strange to me.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was there, and I look at them like, well, what are they wearing the white ones for? Because I wore the blue one specifically because they wear the blue one at home, and then they didn't.
Yeah. As long as they win, I don't care. Like I said, they could wear Mork and Mindy. They could wear the Mork costume for all I care.
Isn't that the Islanders' third jersey, I think?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We should have a contest who can come up with the design for the Islanders' third jersey.
That's a good idea.
They're going to have some trouble finding a design that all six Islander fans like.
Wow. And now I hear Rock is reporting 5-0 Bruins.
What?
That's what he's reporting. Jesus, the show's only been on like 10 minutes.
I'm watching it live. It's not 5-0. Unless they score right here because I have it in high definition. I could be watching.
They didn't score.
Excuse me.
Rock with his premature celebrations.
Erroneous report.
Erroneous on both counts. he says, oops. That's not the kind of reporting we...
Is there going to be riots again?
Let's hope so. I love a good riot. I remember that one time after the 94 Ranger win, when there was a guy in a sombrero, like, got clocked in the face, and there was guys climbing, like, wires, like the telephone wires, the electrical wires. Like, it was nuts. I'll tell you, Vancouver throws a good riot. And it's such a nice, quiet town, clean city. And so, did you guys read that Eklund rumor? And I hate to mention the guy's name because I just saw it in the chat room, that Artem Anisimov might be traded. Did you guys see any of that?
Well, he's really grasping at straws if he's making up Artem Anisimov rumors.
How much demand is for Artie out there right now? I mean...
I think Eklund had Sundin in a Rangers jersey like 4 consecutive days, and then he finally gave it up.
Has his reign, because, you know, in the early days of social media, he kind of was like the go-to guy for trade. And everybody I know completely thinks the guy is like, you know, he's a joke. Has he basically... Is that how he's viewed upon now? It's just a total joke, and
yes,
you know,
yes,
it's just
Eddie. The technical term is gaping asshole.
Wow, that's some language that kind of crosses the line, but I think I approve of it. where is he? You know, I'm not into this kind of trade rumor thing, and I've never ever, you know, gone there, so to speak. So who is the guy to go to? Is there any guys that out there that are like the Bob McKenzies of the world? Or
no, Bob McKenzie, Drager, they're the only guys you're going to get real honest to goodness info from. You know, those guys, the beat writers. Other than that, it's all just, you know, there's this incarcerated Bob who made a lot of noise before the trade deadline with all kinds of different stuff, and then people kind of realized, you know, what he was really about as well. And you can't believe anything that's on the internet except this show.
Oh yeah, it's the absolute truth. I mean, you know that. It's the gospel. It's the holy word of New York Ranger Nation. I'm not so sure I like that nation thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Everybody's got a nation now.
Yeah, you notice that?
I mean, how did it start as Raider Nation, didn't it?
I think so. And
why
then Red
copy
Sox
anything
Nation
from them?
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's, you know, don't I mean, their fans. Their fans, first of all, are bizarre to say the least, and thugs, and they haven't won anything in 30 years. Why don't you copy anything from that? Now everybody's got a nation.
Yeah,
Red
apparently.
Sox Nation, Packer Nation. There is no Ranger Nation, damn it. There's just
the blue shirt banner and the blue shirt underground.
That's right.
And that other sham. You know, it's funny, today I picked out, my wife found my Rangers fan club membership. And again, I was like, I started going that blue shirt United thing, you know, which drove them basically, you know, defunct, because they took away, you know, they didn't make the players available to the fan club, and only through Blue Shirts United and the almighty dollar and John Rosasco and, you know, the whole thing. So once again, I tell you, they were a public, between that, the Winter Classic, and their public relations is stellar. Wow, I gotta tell you.
Really,
they really
connect
with the fans. Oh yeah, they hand you a towel or one of those thunder bats during the playoffs, and that's it. Thank you, fans.
And then they're out in five games.
Yeah. Well, how about when they scheduled skate with the players thing at one of the rinks? I think at the rink in Central Park there, and like people planned it. It was on a Sunday, like planned for months, so you know to all, you know, coordinate it so they could go, and they canceled it the day before.
Right.
I wonder if
but somehow the Flyers found a way to do it.
Yeah, the Flyers can do it in Central Park. I know. It's
somebody, I wrote an article the other day on Blue Shirt Banner about how we were denied credentials for the draft this year. And somebody got on my case and said, because I said, you know, it's a shame that an organization that once employed people like Emil Francis and Neil Smith and John Halligan, who genuinely cared about the fans, you know, have been replaced, and I, you know, whatever. And somebody jumped all over, well, that's not a fair comparison. You're being biased. There were no blogs back then. I said, I'm not being biased. I said, case in point, I said, the New York Rangers fan club, which was created by Frank Boucher, completely supported by Emil Francis, who demanded that his players take part in it. I said, now it doesn't exist anymore. Why? Because the Rangers want you to join their own fan club and spend $2,000 on it to have access to the players.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I've had this argument with people on Facebook, but if you pay $2,000 to join that club, you're a sucker. You're a sucker.
Oh, yeah. People tell me they're on it, and I kind of look at them like, you know,
because when does it end? If you
right.
spend $2,000, you'll spend $3,000. And then what about 3 years if it's $4,000? At what price fandom? That's what I've always said.
Exactly. Right. You know, it's a giant cash grab. And
by the way,
you know,
starting next week, the show will be $50 an episode. What?
That's $50 too much. But still, we can ask. Yeah, I know. You know, we can get into the whole thing. You know, it's.
I think
Leslie's on.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and bring her on. And Captain, we'll talk to you later, okay?
Take care, boy.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Go ahead, Eddie. You can bring Leslie on and intro her if you'd like.
Oh, do I have to do the switchboard? Okay. What is
you
she?
You have access?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to figure out what area code she is.
609.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've had her on several times, and it's always a pleasure for myself and Jim to have her impart her knowledge on us and our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Leslie Treff. Leslie.
Hey there. How
are
you doing, Mal?
Doing good. Doing good. I'm actually doing wonderful.
Good, good. Are you a big Boston fan? Hi there.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Big Boston fans? I mean, the Bruins are killing.
I know. That's what I hear. Which means that our ratings go up because, you know, we are competing with NBC for ratings tonight.
Uh-huh.
And, I have to say, we've got a full chat room here tonight. People want to hear what you have to say, Leslie.
Okay.
And I thank you so much for coming on and giving us your time. And Let's begin at the beginning. Recently you went up to the NHL Combine.
I did.
What did you see? What can you report? How was it? And maybe shed some light on what the NHL Combine is for some of our newer listeners.
Okay, basically it's a place where all the teams get together. They send their scouts. They mostly send their directors of player personnel. And 100 of the top prospects for this year's draft were there. And they interviewed the kids over a period of about 4 days. And then over a period of the last 2 days of the combine, basically the kids go through medical tests, psychological tests, and then very rigorous fitness tests. And so the teams can get a good idea of who these kids are. Most of them have seen most of the kids during the year. But this is a real intense 5-6 days where the kids are interviewed, they take these batteries of tests, and the NHL teams and their scouts also get a look at what the kids look like without their shirts on, which you know, people think is a joke, but it's really not. There are some kids, for example, Nugent Hopkins, who looks like he's underdeveloped. So, but what everybody sees when they see a kid that's underdeveloped is they say, look at what this kid can grow into.
Right.
And then you get a kid like Gabriel Landeskog, who is a man-child. I mean, the guy really is totally developed. So the question then becomes, well, how much more can he grow? So
right.
Do you want a guy who's ready, or do you want a guy who is, you know, can be molded and can grow a lot more and get a lot stronger? And each team has different needs and different desires and different ways that they decide to draft. And some teams will be one way 1 year and then another way the next year. It depends on what they're looking for.
Leslie, are the players given psychological tests like in the NFL?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it
as
extensive?
They're given psychologicals and they're given mental agility tests, as well as hand-eye coordination tests. I took these tests about 3 years ago. They refused to give me the results, which kind of scared me.
What's the point of taking the test?
I did not take the fitness test, but 1 year, I guess it was before this was on TV, before this was a famous thing. We were in a basement of a hotel, and there was basically no press. It was me. And E.J. McGuire, the late E.J. McGuire, who was just a wonderful guy and who took me under his wing in many ways, he decided he was going to let me go through the whole battery of tests, so except for the fitness test, which I declined. But I went through the psychological tests. I did the medical tests. I did the hand-eye coordination tests and the mental agility tests. It was very interesting stuff. And I'm not allowed to tell you what it is exactly. So I'm sworn to secrecy because they use exactly the same test now.
Well, it's funny. our chat room's asking, like, how did this guy pass the mental agility test? Like, Carcillo's name has come up. How did he pass? But I guess you don't have to pass.
Well, he was long before I got there, okay? So, and it's not clear to me that he even went to the combine. Remember, it's only the top players that go.
That's true. Okay.
So, and not only that, all the teams now, it didn't used to be this way, but all the teams now invite kids that they like the best to back to their home cities, and they give them more on-ice tests. I don't know if they give them other psych tests. I think some teams do. Some teams give them more extensive medical tests. I know that there has been some additional tests since the tragedy of Cherepanov. So originally, when I went into the medicals, which was in 2007, the same year that Cherepanov was drafted, they only gave me an EKG. Now I believe they do more. I haven't been in there to find out, but I was told they do more. And then when the teams bring them back, most teams give him even more of an extensive medical exam. So, I don't know. Is this interesting to your viewers?
Yes. Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, because this, might be totally boring to them.
No. Don't worry about
okay.
that. Okay. We actually did this show for me and Jim only. It's just along for the ride.
Until recently, the NHL Combine was a complete mystery to everyone. I mean, there were no TVs, there was no newspaper, there was no coverage at all. So it's only the past 2 or 3 years since NHL.com's existence and NHL Network. I guess NHL.com was around, but NHL Network really put this thing on the map. And now TSN has a big studio there, and NHL Network. This year, particularly, it was amazing. There were like three different TV studios around the edge of the combine. It never used to be like that. It used to be still cameramen, like pushing each other out of the way to get a picture, a shot of Stephen Stamkos.
Right. Was there a lot more media there this year?
Yes.
I did notice that it got more coverage on the internet than it usually does.
Well, it's not only there was a whole new venue for this. So there was a Congress Center where they hold convention, bigger convention type situations, and this was in a huge room, so that the space was probably double or triple what there's been in the past. So there was a lot more room for media, and there was a lot more new media. So there were a lot of internet people there.
Right. Now, while we're speaking about the players you saw, and I don't know if you've, kind of formulated, the Rangers have the 15th pick.
Yeah.
Maybe you could hazard to guess who they might take or they might be interested in.
I can't do that because you have to look at my article that's going to be coming out this week. I can't give my pick because I'll be scooping HF, Hockey Future. So I can't do that.
True.
But I could tell you some ideas that I have about the type of player.
When you're at
number 15, particularly in this draft where there's a huge drop off after like 7 or 8. So after 7 or 8, things just go downhill. This is not a particularly strong draft. Although Brian Burke has said to me, as well as to several other people, that he thinks this draft is as deep as the 2003 draft. And
wow.
I thought, maybe he was.
yeah.
I don't want to say, but I wondered
that.
What he'd been drinking for breakfast. He didn't seem drunk to me, but I was just curious as to where he was getting this from, because everybody else, including me, and this has been for years, I think I've said this on your show before, that I think the draft of 93 is a weaker draft. And there is probably a 7 or 8 players that are going to be excellent players. I don't think there's a superstar among them. but there are going to be several players that are going to be very, very good. We're not going to get one at 15.
Right.
So the question then becomes, what do you do? Do you pick somebody who either didn't interview well or he's got some issue like an injury and he falls to you, which the Rangers actually have history of taking players who were ranked higher and fell to them for whatever reason. Sanguinetti, Delzato, Sharapanov, all those players were on skill alone or on early assessments should have been taken higher. And even Staal, it's hard to believe that Staal was taken where he was. So the question becomes, will someone drop to them? And it's possible.
Right.
Or do you look for, like, a solid two-way player? And if you can't get someone who's fallen to you, look to a solid two-way player. There are several guys that are defensemen that really looked very interesting to me. But I don't know that the Rangers are going to want another defenseman at this point.
Yeah, if I could just jump in here, and from reading what, you know, one of their organizational strengths is defense, and, and it seems like they have a lot of assets defensively, even kind of with the big club, there's kind of a log jam up there, and we don't know how, you know, some of the signings are going to play out, or the, you know, Gilroy and whatever, and whoever, so I think Ranger fans would be disappointed, but it looks like you're saying, it's going to be maybe one or two scenarios that could play out is maybe taking the best available player or taking a risk on a guy that perhaps, like you said, has an injury problem, so it just seems to drop, you know, for whatever reason.
Well, you know, in my personal opinion, if it was me drafting, I would go for a very solid second to third line player. That's what I would do. That's my personal opinion. Here's why. This player that they're going to take now is going to, we're talking 3 to 4 years down the road. So the question is, first of all, assuming you're not going to get a first-line player, a first to second-line player, because you've got to assume that at number 15 you're not going to get that. So assuming you get a second to third-line player, you're really talking about a kid that's going to not play for you for 3 to 4 years, maybe longer if he's a college kid, maybe 5 years. So at that point, a lot of the players that are now on the third and fourth line will be gone because you really don't want to spend that much money on third to fourth line players. So there's a lot of turnover in the third to fourth line to start with. So let's say you've got a third-line player, a good, solid third-line player, and you're pretty sure this kid's going to make it. Well, why not take that player if he fits in? Because we're really talking 4 or 5 years down the road. So I know fans would not be happy doing that because they would say, oh, we have enough third-line players in our system. But the fact is that those players won't be there when this player matures.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at the...
So that's what I'm thinking, and I'm, you know, you will see my pick within a week, but I'm really thinking these are the kind of players that you get. You get a player who's going to be a solid player at number 15. If you can get someone who's fairly much going to be a sure thing, that would be great. Last year, the Rangers didn't go for best player available. They went for the player that they felt they wanted at 10.
Right.
So
that
wouldn't have been my choice, but, you know, that's what they did.
Do you see perhaps a consensus guy like Cam Fowler was last year or a Gormley dropping to the Rangers pick?
Well, I see a player that could drop past the Rangers that I don't think the Rangers will take. I mean, there's a guy, Grimaldi, Rocco Grimaldi. He's a great little player. He's, when I say little, he's about 5'6". And there's a good chance that he will drop. But I don't see the Rangers taking him.
Right. And so, he plays what? He's a...
He's a forward. He's a forward with a center with the National Team Development Program.
Okay.
So he was just invited to the camp in Lake Placid for the under 20 camp, but I don't see the Rangers taking him because I don't think he's their type of player. See, the player also has to fit the system and fit the team.
Right. I mean, the Rangers, like Montreal, they seem to take smaller players, faster players.
Players. They like smaller players. That doesn't mean they'll take one now, but the Rangers generally don't take those players. That's not their style.
I know it, but it seems like there are several players in the organizations, you know, in the organization with Matt Zuccarello, Ryan Bourque, even Christian Thomas. They're not really big guys.
No.
In today's NHL, I don't know. I mean, things seem to be changing a little bit where the little guy can, you know, there's more than one of them on a team. But I can't see the Rangers, especially with those guys who I think, you know, we could see them can play in the NHL, the Rangers going that way again.
But that's those weren't first-round picks. And those guys also had pedigrees. Remember, this is Stevie Thomas's son and Raymond Bourque's son. And Bourque, neither one of those players was a first-round pick. So we're just talking about first-round picks now. I'm not saying, you know, if Grimaldi drops to the second round, it's possible that they could take him. But I just don't see it as their first round pick. Could be wrong, but I just don't see it.
Okay. Well, let's get to, now that we, and by the way, check out Hockey's Future to find out who Leslie picks. And that's going to be coming out in a couple weeks, you say?
I'm writing it this week. By the time it comes out, it'll probably be another week beyond that.
Okay, so check that out. Now let's get to the state of the address of what we have already, what we have in place in our organization. And Leslie, I have a personal stake in this because I am a fan of this man from afar. And I take a lot of heat because all the naysayers tell me all the negatives about this player. And I would normally start with some other players on the list. But this is for my own personal knowledge. Give me the state of the Evgeny Grachev address.
Well, I think we need Evgeny on here, Gina, you know, to tell us, and maybe a Ouija board.
This doesn't sound good, Jim.
No, this is it. No, this is going to end up Evgeny, for you or Evgeny Grachev.
Well, you have me speechless here for a second.
Wow.
Well, no, it's
Leslie,
not that. It's that I honestly don't know.
$25,000 pyramid. And we'll come back to.
I honestly don't know where he's going, and I think what will happen this year, this fall, is going to be critical. We need to see what he can do at camp. I think that he hasn't really developed in the way that was expected or hoped for. I think the first year that he decided to go pro instead of going back to junior hurt him enormously in his development. And you know, it's possible that this next year, if he winds up in Connecticut, it may work out for him, or he may make it out of camp. But if he doesn't, I just don't see this happening for him. So, sorry, but You know,
no problem.
I'm stumped. I don't know if you know that when he was playing with Stepan, I still don't know exactly how he pronounces his name. When he was playing with him, they developed a chemistry, and Gratchev was just going wild, all these goals, and he just really was great. But he doesn't seem to be able to be consistent. He seems to be missing the consistency. At times the year before, it was consistency from shift to shift. And now it's more game to game. So maybe he's improving. Maybe it'll now be month to month. But he really needs to be consistent all the time. A consistent effort, consistent strength on the puck. I don't know.
Right.
I think he's an enigma.
I was just going to say that. It seems like, you know, he's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, you know.
But that's not good for a hockey player.
No, because he's, you know, obviously, maybe is it a personal drive thing? Is it, because I did get to see him in the 8 games he played up with the Rangers, and he played, you know, minimal minutes and fourth line duty. He seemed to play the role well. But he seemed like he didn't want to make an impact. He just wanted to do his job, which is, you know, admirable in itself. I mean, that's a good quality. And the coach tells you you're in a checking role, you check.
But, Eddie, really, he did nothing.
He had no shots on net.
He was not exceptional. This was his shot. He did nothing to make them say, boy, we want to give him more minutes. You know, this guy looks tremendous. Nothing. I mean, the fact is he's only 21 years old, and you can't forget that. I mean, you know, he's still young, and there is time. And I again go back to the fact that he decided to turn pro a year before the Rangers were hoping he would. And I do think that if he would have gone back to junior and really just dominated, it would have given him the confidence to then this year come in and really take the bull by the horns. I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, he, as I said, he is only 21, so, you know, I think he, this fall will be very important, and, you know, if he doesn't really show something in the fall, he really needs to step it up.
Yeah, he should be progressing, and he's not. That's
well, my personal feeling is that he ended the year well, but not enough. It just wasn't enough. So that's a downer.
Actually, that was the best I've heard about him, what you just described. All I hear is he's a lollygagger. He doesn't.
No. No, I really don't think so. I think there's a confidence issue. I think there's a consistency issue. And I'm not sure that the Rangers know exactly what to do about it.
Okay. Well, let's go on to, I know it's got to be happier pastures because Chris Kreider's decided to stay in college. He's going to go into summer school now, I hear. And I kind of knew it because we actually interviewed Chris a couple years ago, and he's like one of these super studious guys, you know, he's taking classes to learn Russian. He's fluent in Russian. I knew he was an academically oriented kid. What can you tell us about Chris and his chances? Well, he will be playing in college, but what do you like about Chris? And do you think it's a good decision for him to stay another year?
Well, I actually just wrote a blog entry about this yesterday, and that there are some real issues that I see about this. There's no question that Chris is studious and he really wants a college degree and he has never wavered in his desire for it. But I'm not sure that as a hockey player, that this was the best decision for him. I know that the Rangers are not going to push him, and I actually spoke to Gordy Clark about that last week. They're not pushing him, but I think there was no question that they would have liked him to join the Connecticut Whale this year and finish his degree. No one is against him finishing his degree, but does he want to play hockey or does he want to go to college? He's a first-round pick.
Right.
You know, this is not Carl Hagelin. That's a different situation.
Well, maybe you can compare the two.
Well, we're talking about a first-round pick that the Rangers have spent a lot of time and money on, and that they're hoping will be a first-line player. And they're looking for this elite player, and they want to develop him as soon as possible. Carl Hagelin mm-hmm. is a second to third line, mostly a third line player, who was, I think he was a fifth round pick out of Europe, and they knew that he was an academic to start with. It's a totally different situation. And they don't expect him to develop into a top six player. It's a very different situation.
Right. So the Rangers kind of, you know, well, obviously they want
him
there.
They're going to let him be. I mean, I don't think he has told them, you know, I'm not sure he told them from the get-go that he's going to stay at least 3 years. I don't think that happened. I think what happened is he said he was going to go to college, and they wanted him to go to St. John's. They wanted him to go to the Q. I think he was drafted in the 10th round of the Quebec Junior League draft. So
right.
They were pretty sure he wasn't going, but teams toward the later rounds pick top players who have committed to colleges. Or intended, at that point he hadn't committed, but intend to commit. And the Rangers wanted him to go to the Q. And he said from the very beginning, he wants to go to college. But going to college is one thing, and you know, the more years you go, the more time you've actually taken away from
your
the
professional
development.
Career, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, you're right, right.
So I don't know him personally. I don't know his personal situation, and I think it's very hard to criticize someone or make a determination if you don't even know the kid, and I don't even
right.
know the kid. But from the Rangers' point of view, it's disappointing because
right.
they think he's pro ready. They don't think he's NHL ready. But
right.
it would have been great to have him at Hartford this year, or Connecticut, whatever you want to call him, in Hartford with the Connecticut Whale.
Hmm.
But I think he's somebody who's coming along very well. You know, I'm not saying he's tremendous, but he's coming along very well, and he's done some really great things, and I think they'd like to see him playing with men.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And on top of that, BC has lost a significant part of their team over the last several months, have gone pro. And, you know, so the whole group is not going to be there together. And so that makes a difference also. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. I guess we'll move. We did the center. We did a left wing. Let's go a right wing. Christian Thomas. Now, here's a guy, when the Rangers took him, I was a little worried because, he has the pedigree. That's great. But he plays for the team that Adam Graves is either part owner or owns. So I was a little worried there may be a little bit of the kind of hockey nepotism going on as far as owner, and he kind of got – but Christian Thomas is developed into a – outstanding goal scorer. How do you feel about him?
Well, I think he's a really exciting player. I've seen him in person. I've seen him against players of his own age. And I saw him in the playoffs, and he was just tremendous against very good teams. I just don't know. I can't wait to see him in development camp and see how he is against players who are a little older than he is, and in Traverse City, too. I think that will be a better measure of where he is and how good he's going to be. Sometimes guys, or little guys, are in the OHL or Canadian Hockey League, and they just pile up the points, and they don't do so well for the pro game. Case in point is Corey Locke. You remember Corey Locke?
Right.
So we'll have to see. I mean, I don't really think that Thomas is Corey Locke. I think his game is much better and much well-rounded, much more well-rounded. But we're going to have to wait and see.
Now,
he may be an elite player. We'll have to see.
Well, I did like that he improved over last year's totals. I mean, you know, and the Rangers, who are bereft of anybody with any, you know, offensive zing, you know, it looks like at least so far in the organization, you know, guys who can put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the
big question with Christian Thomas is, where is he going to play? You know, he's in a situation where, you know, he's 19 years old, so he's in that.
He can take Vinny Prospel's spot. He can take Eric
Christensen's
spot.
No. So the issue is, really, is he going to play in the NHL, or are they going to send him back to junior?
Right.
And he's already dominated junior, so do you really want him to go back there?
Right. Hmm. You want to kind of have him progress. So the big news around here in the last couple of weeks has been Tim Erickson.
Yes.
Rangers, you sound excited about Tim Erickson. I like that already. Rangers gave up two number two picks and Roman Horak, right, I believe?
Yes.
Let's, before we get into Tim, do you have any surmise why the Rangers were willing to part with Roman Horak and two draft, not the two draft picks, but really Roman Horak? And then maybe throw in, if you can, another one of my favorite who got traded to the Coyotes, Ethan Werrick. Two guys that were drafted in the same draft, right?
Right.
That Rangers parted ways with.
Yep. I think Erickson was by far the best prospect that Calgary had. He was a first-round pick that who was developing like a first-round pick. Roman Horak is a third-line player who developed very nicely and had quite a bit of upside, but he's no Erickson. And in a weak draft, if you can get somebody who would be a first-round pick for a third-liner and two second-round picks, you grab him and run.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. I mean, you know, I think it was a great, great trade. Unfortunately for Calgary, it was a trade of necessity, and so they got less than they might have otherwise. But for the Rangers, it was just a steal. And that's nothing against Roman Horak. Nothing against him at all.
It just was a great deal for them. I mean, they couldn't pass it up, but I had read that Gordy Clark had kind of targeted him. He was a guy that he really liked.
Right.
What kind of player is Tim Erickson?
He is a two-way defenseman, but he has more offensive upside than any of the younger prospects in the system, except perhaps, except for Michael Delzato. But he has the defensive game that Delzato doesn't have. So he's not quite as offensively talented as Delzato, but he has much more of a defensive game. So, you know, I think he's a probably maybe number three defenseman, which number three, you know, a second pairing defenseman with
right.
the offense, yes. So just like Delzato would be like a number six, because he's basically a power play specialist. You don't really want him on defense in critical situations. Erickson would not be that. And he could be a power play quarterback. We'll have to see if he develops into that. Mm-hmm. But he's a really good prospect. Really good.
Good. And how about, let's talk about his cousin, Oscar Lindbergh. Another guy was Ethan Werick for Oscar Lindbergh. Once again, Don Maloney and Glenn Sather seem to like to operate with each other. Oscar Lindbergh, what could you tell us about him? I know he's good on face-offs. That's all I know.
I don't know much more than that. So I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't know much more than that, but what I do know is the Rangers had lots of doubts about signing Werick. And so,
yeah, did that come from, you know, I heard that there were some injury problems that Ethan had and he didn't report them to the Rangers and he saw his own doctors. You think that had anything to do with it? Or, I mean, do you have any clue?
I don't know. I mean, when I saw Werick, every time I spoke to Werick, he was a good kid, a hard worker. But there were all these rumors out there of his attitude issues and doctor issues. I have no information about that personally. I don't know. I just know that there were real questions and real doubts about signing Werick. And I had been told by Gordy Clark ahead of time that there were some questions about it, and they were able to make this trade. In the meantime, the Coyotes were really happy to have him, and I hope that he becomes a great player. I mean, I really do.
Oh, I hope he does, too.
He's a good kid, and, you know, I hope it works for both teams.
He once told me I was his favorite interviewer. Can you believe that? So I was rooting for
sure,
him right away.
Not?
He made a friend right away. I was like, hey, I love this guy. Oh.
He's an honest, thoughtful kid. He really is. When you ask him questions, he talks about it. You know, he thinks, he talks, he's straightforward. And I like the kid very much, and they liked him. They liked him to start with, so I don't know what happened exactly. And I think it wasn't helped by some of the team situations that he had in Kingston. Just wasn't a good situation for him. And I'm hoping that he will develop. His injuries really hindered his development. And that, plus everything else that was going around, I think really harmed him. And I'm glad to see that he has a chance, that he's got a second chance in Phoenix.
Okay. We've got some questions
We've got about another 5 to 7 minutes, and then I have another commitment. But
no problem. We'll get you done. We'll get you out of here quick. People want to know about, I guess, the elephant in the room that still Ranger fans haven't seen much of, Dylan McIlrath, a surprise pick from last year's draft. Have you seen him, Leslie? Can you give us an assessment?
I saw him only once this year. I think he's a long-term project. He's big, he's mean, and he has a huge amount of developing to do. I think it's way too soon to make any judgment on him. And he had an injury, too. So, you know, I think that we need to wait like probably another 2 to 3 years before we can assess whether this pick was a good one or not.
Do you think he'll be at camp this year?
Yes.
Right. It's all okay. People want to are interested to see if they're going to see him in the preseason, kind of get a look at him.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that
he'll
be there
that far.
No, I'm not sure. We'll have to see, but I just don't see him ready. I could be surprised, but I just don't see it. And I think they're going to want to get him back to, you know, his junior team.
So you're really looking at him as a long term. It's going to take a while. And, you know, we're going to see how this
Camp
his, plays out.
No. His role will be a big, mean, nasty player. Hard to play against. That's the role he's going to play. Cam Fowler plays is an offensive defenseman who had some very severe defensive drawbacks. He can get on the ice right away as an 18-year-old and knock the heck out of the puck. And he's got a very heavy shot, and he can do a lot of things. That doesn't take as long to develop. His defense is going to take some time to develop, if it even does. But for a type of player that McElrath will be, that takes time to develop. And I really don't know if the Rangers are going to keep him around into the preseason. It's unclear to me, but I would be stunned if he was ready. Stunned. And I would be very skeptical about keeping him around because he really needs to develop. He's not dominating at the junior level. He's not there yet.
Right. They had seen a little bit of that the year previous towards the end of the year. And, I guess that type of player has to really develop his skills on a long-term basis, where Cam Fowler is just naturally good, but...
Well, it's not, it's not so much... It's the kind of skill we're talking about. Okay, so we're not looking for him to have an amazing shot. We're looking for him to grow into his body, to skate better, to be better positionally, to be stronger. That's what we're looking for. And so when we look at those attributes take time to develop.
Okay.
Very
different. I think we'll end our time with Leslie Treff. Jim, you're still there, right? You didn't fall asleep, did you?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm just listening.
I'm riveted to this stuff. I could do it. We're going to have a Leslie on again. But we actually have...
Why don't I come on after the draft?
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. But before we end our time with you, do we have a live call for Leslie?
Yes. Is that okay, Leslie? We have one of our regulars has a question for you.
Sure.
Let me just bring him in real
quick. Go ahead.
There we go. Rock, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Rock.
Hi, Rock.
I know you had a question, and you are on with Leslie Treff.
Hey,
Rock.
Leslie, how are you?
What can I do for you?
I'll be very, very quick.
Okay.
Do you feel, and this is maybe a little bit of a question, you might not be able to answer it, did Sherepanov's death, did that set the Rangers forward prospect, like their whole chain, did that throw them off as far as what they were looking to do, with their whole drafting scenario when they were going to the board? Did that kind of throw off their whole idea of what they were looking for?
Let me ask the question of you then. What exactly? Well, of course. It took off a huge. It was an expectation of a first line right winger,
right?
Eventually, which they now have in Gaborik. I'm not sure they would have gone for Gaborik if Sherepanov had lived. Is that the kind of question you're?
That's kind of where I was going. I mean, I just felt that. That when they lost Sherepanov the way they did, the Rangers have never had a history of drafting forwards in the first round. They've always seemed to fall short drafting the forward in the first round. You know, obviously with the exception of Kovalov, they've never really had the success that they've had drafting, goaltending and defensemen. So I was just curious in the sense where, from your consensus, when they lost Sherepanov, was that maybe the reason why they decided to draft Chris Kreider instead of taking Timmy Eriksson at that point? Was that a necessity? that they felt we have to get another forward in here, or was it just they felt Kreider was a better prospect than Erickson at that point?
I think that, and I may get my head chopped off for this, but I truly believe that Gordy Clark himself had spent a huge amount of time scouting Kreider, and it was his guy. And he truly believed that when Kreider dropped to him, that they had a coup. And so
gotcha.
They took him. They really expected Kreider to be taken before.
Really?
So I just think that was just the best player available, they felt. But I think Erickson was probably next on their list. And these are... And I actually had just spoken to Clark last weekend at the Combine, and he told me that the final say is his. And so there have been many arguments. He didn't tell me who or what, you know, but there have been many arguments about players, but the final say is his, and I think Kreider was his guy.
Well, he's looked good so far, so, you know.
Yeah,
we'll have to see what happens.
But I to answer your question, I do think that Sharapanov's death, you know, had a huge effect on the team. I don't think it changed the way they're drafting as much as what they're now missing that they thought they had. They were absolutely 100% convinced that Sharapanov was coming over.
Right.
And so they really felt they were going to sign him. And so that they had been planning. And this is the whole thing when I talked in the beginning about Kreider and him staying at college, that each organization has plans and has players slotted in certain areas. And if it doesn't come to pass for whatever reason, it really can be a problem and can be a big setback to the organization.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with that. Thanks, Leslie. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So thank you for having me, guys. I'm
going
to run off.
Oh, we love having you.
All right?
Yes.
And I'll be back soon, all right?
Take
yes,
care,
thanks.
Leslie.
Take
thank
care.
You.
Good night.
Leslie.
Sure.
Good night. Well, there you go. Leslie Treff. So, I don't know. I keep looking for that... That hope
keep,
for Evgeny Drachev, I'm just not going to get it.
No, you keep throwing that line out there, and nobody's biting on it.
Well,
did you see? we were kind of poking a little fun at you, or actually, mostly me, in the chat room. I said that sound you hear is Eddie peeling his Drachev fat head off the wall.
Yeah, burned $200 in cookie cards. I got of this guy.
And then
I
said, If you're driving through the streets of Ronkonkoma, be careful of a whole bunch of bobbleheads that just got thrown out of a second story window.
Well, see, I see credence in what she says. That other buffoon, Mitch Beck, I have no respect for.
Well, the difference with Beck is he loves everybody but Grachev. I mean, he waxed poetic about every guy, every prospect from. You know, I mean, guys, Brent Healy, guys that you never heard of, he loved, except, he loved everyone but Grachev. He was the only one that he had anything negative to say about.
Justin Soriel, he could be an all-star in this league.
The only two guys he's ever come on here and had anything bad to say about are Grachev and Donald Brashear. And that's only because Donald Brashear wouldn't talk to him.
Wow. That's a plus.
Other than that,
I don't know why he would even want to talk to Donald Brashear.
Everybody's throwing it all on the fame.
So, Rock, have you been going on the boards and seeing who the Rangers made? Like, I see this one guy, he has got the Rangers taking this defenseman, Joseph.
You know, if the Rangers take a defenseman, if there's a really good defenseman at that point, the Rangers should either trade down or just pick the best available forward. I mean, this team needs scoring. If they take a defenseman, I will be absolutely shocked. Unless a guy, I have to really look at the draft prospects. I mean, you know, what you read in these papers, we've never seen them play. So, I mean, you
right.
could be reading, I remember them saying that Wade Redden was the next Sergei Zubov. I mean, I've heard, you know, them wax, you know, them talk highly about a lot of guys. You know, until you see them play, it's so hard to really determine who do I think they should take. Last year, I thought they should have taken Tarasenko or Burmistrov. Actually, Burmistrov was the guy I really wanted. He wound up going, I think, two slots higher to Atlanta. But I don't know. I mean, I only could tell you what I've read. And I know a lot of guys are high on this Rocco Grimaldi guy. And I'm like, I agree with you guys. I think he's another small player on a team that's already small.
5'6", is he Frankie Valli?
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, I know what you're saying. You don't know what the team's going to be 4 years down the road, but in three of those prospects I named, they're like 2-3 years away. I mean, really, you can't be going for like – I know, first of all, Rocco Grimaldi, if he ever made the team –
he's the diminutive forward from Sicily.
Yeah. Sicilian Hobbit. You know, I mean, 5'6". I mean, seriously, that's just a little too crazy. Yeah. So, Zuccarello a tower over him.
Yeah, no, that's
well,
the truth.
But,
it's so hard. You know, Leslie made some great points. I mean, it's so hard to really determine. And I'll tell you, I don't think they draft McElrath if they know what they have in, you know, in Michael Sauer. Because, I mean, if you look at the range of defense, I honestly don't think they draft him in that spot if they know the defensive prospects were going to evolve the way they have. And, you know, we don't know what Valentenko's going to be like. I mean, he may not last. They may trade him.
You have to put it in combination with the fact that Michael Delzato blew up, who they thought, and not blew up in the wrong direction, is that I really thought that they thought MDZ was going to be their power play guy. And, you know, the first 25 games, 30 games he might have been. But since then he's kind of regressed. And I just think they never saw that coming in combination with not really thinking that Michael Sauer would be the defensive stalwart that he was last year,
yeah,
as well as McDuffie. And now we see, I would take a Cam Fowler right now, even if it's horrible defense, because that power play is so bad.
Yeah.
They need, you know, I could care less if the guy plays defense like Sandis Ozelnish. They need somebody that could shoot.
They need a guy that can get the puck through from the point, and you know, it's horrendous watching their power play because they just can't get a shot through.
And you know, we as Ranger fans are not a patient group, and if I got to wait 4 years for Dylan McElrath, like Cam Fowler is making the All-Star team every year, or maybe the Young Gun All-Stars, it's going to be a rough road. It's still out. The jury's still out. I guess it's going to be out for a while, you know?
Well, it's not like, you know what, not for nothing, though. I guess you can look at it from this perspective. They don't need to rush the guy along. I mean, he could develop, take as much time. I mean, not to use Michael Sauer for every example, but, I mean, the guy was injury-prone. He never seemed to get it together. He came up here 2 years ago. He seemed, you know, a little shaky, but, you know, not horrible. And look what he's evolved into. I mean, sometimes it takes defensemen longer to develop, especially when they're that mean rugged type defenseman, opposed to what Leslie said with the more skilled, you know, guy. You're not worrying as much about playing defense, just worrying about putting the puck in the net or rushing up the ice. So sometimes it just takes longer. So, you know, maybe with this guy, you let him play down in Hartford and hope that he, you know, turns into someone they can use down the road. But we've seen it in the past with these defensemen. I mean, who knows? You just never know. But I think if they knew what they had in Sauer and these other young defensemen, I don't think they draft. I don't think they draft McElrath at all.
Yeah, I think. But according to Jim, was at the draft and he said that they were, you know, that was their guy.
I am reporting that is true. I was there. I'm telling you.
And I have to say, now, I am pleased as punch that I know that Gordy Clark has the final say, because I don't trust any of them to make a decision. Not even Tortorella, not even, say the trust me, he's the Leafs guy. I want him to make him the final call. So I'm glad that they have delegated that to him. I mean, so far, so good, you know. Although, I think the Rangers really want, they really wanted Kreider, but they're kind of backing off now because they know. I see the Kachev.
No, that's not what I was laughing at.
So
you know what though? If the kid is, I'd rather him not come out. If he's not, if he has doubts, the last thing you want is a kid coming out that's not ready to come out. If he ain't ready to come out and he feels he's not ready to come out, you know what? Then stay in school, do what you got to do, and hopefully he gets his degree, gets his head screwed on straight, and is in training camp the next year. You know, I mean, and let's be honest, he's probably not making this team. You'd like to think that he could pull a Stefan and maybe make the team this year, but I don't know. I don't know if he makes the team. I can't say without a shadow of a doubt. We weren't sure that Stefan was going to make the team this year. And, you know, everybody wants all these young kids to play, and I've got slammed. I don't know if you guys saw Twitter over the weekend. I got slammed by a lot of guys on Twitter because I'm pro Brad Richards as I am. You know, guys just want to play all young guys. And I'm on the impression where I really believe, and maybe I'm in the minority, and maybe I'm, have pie in the sky dreams, but I look at Boston, and I think the Rangers are just as good as Boston. I think the Rangers are one or two players away. I don't think Boston's that much better than the Rangers. And teams are saying, oh, we're 2, 3, 4 years away. I go, if you're going to do that, and you're going to just want to play kids all the time, they're not going to learn anything. Because they're learning from their counterparts. That's first off, and secondly, you know, the team needs some form of direction, some form of veteran leadership. And a guy made a comment to me saying, "Oh, well, you're going to be complaining about Brad Richards' contract 3 years from now." And you know what? I very well might be, you know, if they sign him. But 3 years from now, Gabrick's going to be off the books. Lundqvist is going to be up for a new contract, and we don't know what's going to happen 3 years from now. So I 3 years ago, I wanted Chris Drury. 4 years ago, I wanted Chris Drury. I wasn't thinking about right now. I was thinking about what the team was then, and that's what everyone needs to focus on. You don't want Brett Richards? That's fine. Well, who are you bringing in to score goals this season? And mark my words, they don't bring in Brad Richards. I guarantee you, Tim Connolly's coming here or Simon Gagné. They're going to bring one of these amazing projects coming here because they are not going to go into next season without some kind of scoring depth of some kind. They're bringing in one of these
guys. There's a 68.71% chance you're right.
Brother.
Yes, I think...
Brother.
Oh, brother.
That's scary. You're right. You're right. No, I know, it is scary.
I have two new favorite clips.
Oh, brother.
Cracks me up every time. I think you're right. And as Ranger fans, we do get impatient and, like, we think to ourselves, listen, I was about to say to Leslie, who could Christian Thomas replace? Erik Christensen. I can name 55 guys I want off this team. But you got to think it in realistic terms. You just can't throw a 19-year-old in there and want to see him play. He's better just because he was good in juniors. Mm-hmm. You know, and it could turn out to be Corey Locke, like she said. So you got to let these – and the Rangers have gone – maybe you guys – I wonder if you agree with me – is that the Rangers seem to never, like – other than Callahan and Dubinsky, who spent some time in the minors, it never seems like they spend a couple years in the minors, develop, and then they make the big leagues. Recently, it's like you go from juniors to the Rangers or college to the Rangers.
You basically pass through Hartford, essentially. They show you a map of Hartford, and then they take you to Madison Square.
I mean, Dan Girardi played in Hartford. I mean, a lot of guys. You know, Fedor Tootin played in Hartford. There were a lot of guys that came through Hartford and wound up having great careers and it played well. It doesn't mean you have to go jump from the NA, from, you know, like you said, from college or from juniors and go straight to the Rangers. That doesn't always have to happen.
All right, before we're off the air, we just want to say thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you guys Friday night for the Graveyard Shift. And if you're around on Thursday night, join Cutter for his Catastrophe, or whatever he calls it, where he basically condenses 200 years of hockey history into 30 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, brother. Brother.
All right. So I'm sorry I couldn't get to everybody's questions that they told me to ask, but Leslie was on a time constraint. So, but other than that, good night, everybody.
All right, we're off the air.
Oh, brother.
That is
fun. Oh, brother.
So fucking freaky.
Swat!
Is that his radio voice?
It's just like, well, you know what's funny? He's doing his show last night, right? And now keep in mind, it's a half-hour show, right? And I only listened to the first 15 minutes because it was 15 minutes into the show where my laptop crashed, right? It's like 7 minutes into the show, and he's like, okay, so it's time for a little water break, so I'm going to go get a glass of water. And he just starts playing music, and I'm like, you're on the air for 7 minutes and you're taking a commercial? And he just starts playing like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, like whole music.
He's, you got to listen to this show. He's out of breath. It's like he's running a marathon.
And then in 1993, there was a union break, and Andre Dawson for the union, and then in 1995...
It'll be like, in the 1982, in the 1983, in the 1984, the Rangers win! The Rangers win! The Rangers win the Cup! And in 1985, they never won the Cup! And the Eagles moved to Nashville! In 1996, the Florida Panthers!
Oh,
what's
this on Thursday night?
I gotta take a water break.
Oh my god.
Oh, brother.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. And then last night, I sent him a message right after his show was over. I'm like, listen, I said, Cutter, I said, I'm really sorry. I said, my laptop literally just died halfway through your show. I said, I can't get it to come up. He goes, well, he says, I appreciate you being there. He says, I think Eddie was mad at me, and that's why he didn't show up. I'm like, Eddie's not mad at you. He goes, are you sure? I said, no, he's not mad at you. I said, he's probably just busy. I said, you know, it's like two nights. I said, we're already locked down to two nights a week. You know, whatever. He goes, well, you know, it's going to take a little support to get this going, you know. I'm like, Cutter. I said, Jeff, you got to build an audience. I said, you know, it takes time. I said, he thinks he's going to be an overnight sensation. You know? Like, it took Eddie and I a year to get people to this show. It takes
Do the Paul D left. Paul D left.
Guys.
All right, take care.
Oh, brother.